Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
These guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. 7 a.m. recording Wednesday, April 3rd, after the Celtics' big win over the Oklahoma City Thunder at TD Garden. 35-point win for the Seas. 100-35 was the final score. This is supposed to be a full podcast, but if you watched Talking Seas, the pregame show yesterday, you know that we weren't able to record because my dog Duke decided to pick through the trash and spread it all over my house. So I had to clean it up, and that was literally the only 1 hour window we had to record yesterday. And well, that ruined it. So you guys get a game recap tonight, and apologies. That's on kind of on me, but mostly on Duke. Duke
for that. It's on the universe. I just think it was
it's tough.
Day we had planned, and then the plans had a wrench thrown into them, and then the wrench destroyed all of the structure. Like the thing collapsed. Yeah. So we did our best. We're sorry.
Again, a reminder, leave a like on the video, subscribe to How About Them Celtics, comment what's popping for a chance to win $10 in popping to a gift card. But a wrench might have been thrown into our plans, but the Celtics just they brought out all the tools in the toolbox for this win. It was a pretty dominant following a fairly close start to the game. Again, 135-100 blowout for the Seas. 33 assists on the night. Kristaps Porzingis had 27. Tatum had 24 in only 29 minutes. Jaylen Brown exploded for 15 points in the fourth, capping off a 23-point performance on a otherwise rocky night. Al Horford had a good game himself, and sort of everybody did a little bit of everything in this one. Excuse me, I've had something in my throat all night. I will say, this is another... I was about to say March, but it's April now. April game, regular season. This might have been the least energetic crowd I've seen to this point, which makes sense. No Shea, no Jalen Williams. And they got up for the big moments. Like the Celtics went on a run. It was a big pop. KP threw down an alley-oop. It was a big pop. But just like throughout the course of the game, you could tell that not only did the Celtics understand that this is a useless game in April, but the crowd knew it too. Regardless, this is exactly what you were supposed to do in those useless games. So good job, Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them credit. I feel like the crowd got up every once in a while when the noise meter came on the screen. Yeah, they did their best.
They got up for the pops.
This was a really interesting game because it didn't go as smoothly as it should have for a while. And then all of a sudden the Celtics flipped a switch, which is nice to see because they do have a switch. We've talked about the switch for a while, and the switch was evident today. The entire game, I feel like the story of this one was Jaylen. Jaylen was atrocious for a while. A lot of people were like, what's wrong with him? How hurt is his left hand? I mean, he had a couple turnovers solely based off, like, hey, he missed the dribble with the left hand, dribbled out of bounds with his left hand. And then the fourth quarter rolled around. He said, that's enough of that. He made all the shots. He scored 10 quick points to bury the Thunder. Like, you can say front runner, I guess, if you really want to, but it was a situation where the game was kind of close. They didn't do a great job closing the third quarter.
Agree.
And there was some concern heading into the fourth whether or not the Tatumless group would be able to survive. And Jaylen, to his credit, stepped up big time. 5 turnovers on the box score is never pretty, but the fourth quarter was a masterpiece from him and the rest of the fellas too. So I was just happy to see they flipped a switch. This was a game that was 10 points down to 6 points. Did it get lower than that? I think it 6 was the lowest, but then all of a sudden it's 35.
Yeah, they just ballooned this lead. They locked in. They figured it out. OKC were some free throw merchants on the night, taking 28 and making Embiid, 25 of them. They were, in fact, Embiid-like. But like you said, Jaylen Brown turned it up in the fourth quarter. I agree that he was emblematic, of the storyline of the game. But this game was all Kristaps Porzingis. The
man was
on fire. 11 of 14 from the field, 3 of 3 from deep. I'm not saying you're saying it wasn't. I'm just the point of Kristaps was awesome. 27 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 blocks again. He's on a block party lately. 3 offensive rebounds, a steal in there as well. He only missed three shots on the night. He talked about the block party after the game, or Joe talked about it first. He was asked about it. I think Jared Weiss was asking about it. He said he's learning the timing of help based on where you are is really hard to do because of his work in the film room and on the floor. He's gained a really good feel for that. Meanwhile, Porzingis about the block party says, my legs are a little bit better, but mostly it's just starting to turn up a little bit more. Understanding that we have playoffs soon, I want to be my best in the best moments for the playoffs. Just getting into that mindset and finishing the regular season strong, that's what I'm trying to do. So that tells me Kristaps is ramping it up already. The defense has looked incredible. He started to play more of that helper role where he's rotating over, not just playing straight drop. He's kind of sinking back in the paint and ready to help on drives. He had a super cool put back dunk over the entire Thunder defense. He shoved Josh Giddey in the back right after. It was a fun time. I don't think it's the best Porzingis game of the season, but this is like maybe the best two-way Porzingis game of the season, because he was
might have been the most dominant Porzingis game of the season. I think that is a good chat
too. Like, Chet's a damn good player, too.
Chet's quality. Chet has some excellent footwork down low. Let me tell you, he's so patient in the post. He reminds me of Worth, who nobody listening to this knows who it is, but it's somebody we play with who is excellent underneath the basket. So just watching him play was pretty interesting. And then Porzingis just having his most dominant game of the season was something to see. I love seeing him block shots. I like seeing him take over in the post. I liked seeing him make all the threes today. I was a little bit concerned about Porzingis shooting threes over the last X amount of games since he came back from his, what was it, hamstring injury, muscle injury, whatever the problem he was dealing with was.
Shit, yeah.
So now that he's dropping them, it's sick to watch. I mean, just giving him the ball in the post is a cheat code. There was one play in particular that I laughed out loud. He catches the ball, left side of the floor, turns, OKC sends a double. The ball has been above his head the entire time. He just throws it off the glass and in. Effortless. Yeah. It's unfair at times. And then when he's blocking shots like he was today, it's really tough to deal with him. Just like overall, like good big three game. Tatum, another guy that you didn't really have to feel Tatum today. And I feel like Tatum's at his best when you don't have to feel him.
That's what I was gonna say.
There are great Tatum games where you do feel him too, but I love when Tatum's able to have a 24-point night and fill the rest of the stat sheet out. Clean turnover game for him too, zero turnovers, 2 of 5 from three. Like, he did have a takeover stretch. I think it was second, third quarter. He had 11 in the quarter, so he exploded there for a long stretch. Just impressive stuff from the guys today. A lot of guys. Jack, did we win a Prize Picks today? I think we did. We won less than the 10 times because we pushed. I think on Giddey.
We pushed it, yes, because Giddey had exactly 17.
Do you push it? You push the entire thing?
I don't know. I'll go look. Did we win a prize? Let's see.
That can't be the case.
Let me log in. I don't know.
But anyways, seven guys as far in double figures.
Yeah, the Celtics, they picked them apart. We pushed it. We did. We or not pushed it, but like we didn't get the full value, but we did get money. We got
what?
Instead of 10x, we got 5x. Yeah, so we got 10 to win 50. So we won 50.
We were due.
It's not bad. We take it.
We're back.
Technically we won 40 because it gave me my 10 back and then added. So, but like total 50. So technically we won 40. So I don't like that.
Promo code CLNS.
Promo code send us. As far as Tatum, though, I was just going to say, like, you really didn't feel him in this game. It didn't feel, but it felt, the good part about it is it felt like he took the shots that just came to him, right? There was a couple shots, and I wrote them down in my little notebook here. We don't have to watch them because I'm going to have to pull it up. But there were a couple shots in the third quarter, which is maybe when you notice the run, where he had this, I'm going to pull it up now. He had these two plays in a row in the third quarter where he made two buckets, and he drove on one and took a midi in the other, and they weren't the exact same play, but they were close enough where he like picked apart the same matchup. I think he had.
Was it Isaiah Joe?
I can't remember. I can't.
There was one where pull up shoot Nate on Twitter.
Isaiah Joe or Aaron Wiggins.
This is tough.
Yeah, sorry. I think I'm lagging here because the garden Wi-Fi is bad. So this is a nice
pace. I tried to step in.
I appreciate that. I really can't catch a break today. I truly, this is just not.
It's a miracle. I'm not lagging because it's storming out. It's tough.
Talk about a disaster for me. Let me change the Wi-Fi. I don't know if Sam's still.
Your face froze on the screen. I don't know if I'm going to have to edit this out. I don't know. You froze like this. You're like, man. It is what a day. And it's a long day because you woke up early.
I'm exhausted. And I slept like crap last night. I woke up three times last night, too. I woke up at 6 because I couldn't sleep. I woke up at 8 because Duke was crying because he wanted me to lift him on my bed. And I woke up at 9 to get up.
Bad day.
Horrendous.
You know, you're funny because you either you don't sleep at all or you sleep too much.
I very rarely sleep. Well, yes, in the sense that I'm late to stuff, but like I don't sleep. I never sleep too much. That is, I think that happens. It sucks. Anyways, hopefully, if the Wi-Fi allows it, I'm trying to switch to my hotspot, but my computer won't even let me do that. So this is phenomenal.
You've been clean for a couple minutes here. Now that you're going to try and talk again, you watch. Yeah. You watch how it goes.
Mm-hmm. It felt like Tatum was doing well in finding the right shots at the right time. I'm going to share my screen here, and if it lags, then I quit sharing my screen for the rest of the evening. But we'll see what happens here. I think we're clean for now, as long as you can see it.
Sign up.
There were two plays. Shut the fuck up.
They do not want you to see this play
in the third quarter. They really don't. And it's two plays in a row. And I'm really hoping it'll let me show it because I really enjoyed the plays and I thought they were good. So Peyton Pritchard has the ball at the top of the key. Just ran a screen and roll with Tatum. Screens Tatum, gets Isaiah Joe on him or Aaron Wiggins. I can't tell. I think it's Aaron Wiggins, but I can't tell. But he gets the Thunder defender on his back and he's posting up facing. Rather than the hoop, if Pritchard can feed defender over, Tatum gets an easy path to the basket, and he misses the layup, but he tips it back in. Good drive by Tatum. The very next play, they go to a similar thing, except this time it's Derek White screening off the ball while Peyton Pritchard dribbles at the top of the key, and Tatum posts up the exact same player again. It's either Isaiah Joe or Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if you can still hear me because I'm buffering on multiple angles, but
I hear you.
I'm trying my best here.
The play isn't playing.
Am I back?
Dude, I can hear you. Yeah.
I know. It this is my own fault. Again, a similar thing, except this time Derek just I can't win. The play is buffering. I'm not gonna show it. I quit. I quit the play.
Do you want me to show it?
It's making my stream lag. No, I quit. I'm annoyed.
It's okay. They're there. Oh my god, you might lag out. This is what it feels like to be Jack. There you go. You came back. This must be how it is when like I freeze and then you come back and I'm like ready to shoot somebody.
Except I'm sorry that you're dealing with this. I just get defeated. Okay. I'm gonna lag in for a sec, but it should be the last time because I'm connecting to my phone.
Okay. For what it's worth, I know you have a train to catch, but please. Like I'm not in a hurry.
I'm back.
So.
Yeah. I'm on the phone.
I'm not in any hurry, so right. Don't feel that bad. You're the one that has a train to catch.
I'm just irritated. Can you hear me now? Am I back?
I can hear you. You're clean. You're not all choppy right now.
What a mess. I don't know how much of that I'm going to cut out or not, but the point is, the second play, Derek White screens for Jason Tatum. He gets to the same spot in the post against Isaiah Joe / Aaron Wiggins. I couldn't tell who it is, and I can't check because my computer's lagging. But since the guy is expecting a drive this time, Tatum is able to create space and pull up for a mid-range shot. I thought it was a good example of Tatum picking his spots and being able to take selective shots. Now he only took 5 threes. He took 10 twos. It was a good mix for him. All I wanted to say was good job, Tatum. And it took me 10 minutes instead of fucking two. But good for him.
Jalen I can share Brown, screen. I have it. I have it pulled up.
I already described it, but you can pull up
okay.
A second.
All right, we don't have to roll the dice.
Another good thing. Al Horford, beast that in the post a couple times, made a couple threes. Another big Horford game. It feels like he's been on heater lately. I know you talked about it recently, but Al's been real fun.
I was just about to say, I feel like we've had like a bunch of good Horford games in a row. So I'm pulling up his basketball reference. Let's see. Last five games tonight, 15. Oh, no, not tonight. Sorry. 15 points against Charlotte, 9 points against New Orleans, 7 against Atlanta, 23 against Atlanta, and 8 against Milwaukee. But a couple double-digit games there, and tonight is the third one. So anytime you get a big boy Horford game, it's a ton of fun to watch. I like when he's finishing underneath the basket. I think that's just where you're going to get the most value from him. I really think there's a lot to gain there if he's able to drop step, quickly throw it off the glass. It's just a nice, reliable thing. It just hasn't been there all year. So I do hope he's efficient in the playoffs. I've loved watching him. I like his energy. He had a really funny play where OKC was kind of pressing, and then they gave it to Horford, and nobody picked him up at all, so he got a free layup. Just ran right down the middle.
Bizarre. Yeah, he's been good. It's been fun to see him get back to his post-up days. It's been very good.
A lot of Pritchard ball handler today. It felt like.
I was going to talk about him next. Now, he ruled. Yeah. He was awesome in this game. He wasn't super efficient. 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3, but 8 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. He had that sweet pass after. Tatum had the super cool play that I would show if my computer wasn't, I don't even know, shit.
It's okay.
Tatum like got a rebound, but tipped it right to Pritchard on the fast break rather than grabbing the rebound. He tipped it so it like kept the momentum going, and Pritchard just like slung it all the way up the court to Jrue Holiday. He's been really, really, really good. The way he's been able to snake in and out of the defenses, the way he's been able to like, dude, if he gets somebody on his back in the post in the drive, like you're cooked, you're done. Like he is so good at positioning his body on drives and stuff. So Pritchard's really been impressing me, and Joe stuck to we're only going 8 guys deep for the grand, you know, majority of the game tonight, and Pritchard was one of them, and he rocked. Shout out Pritchard.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I mean, Pritchard team high assists. 8 assists tonight.
Yeah.
And that's as the bench guy, game high assists, actually. As the bench guy that kind of gets to handle the ball, I mean, it really felt like he was one of the primary dribblers today. So you have to take that one with a grain of salt. But to see him step up when he's given the opportunity is always encouraging. And that's just been the story of Pritchard since he's been on the Celtics. As a rookie, he was given extended run because that team really wasn't very good. Kemba was hurt all the time, and he thrived. He got us all to talk about him as a future piece of this team. This season, he's gotten more of an opportunity after watching a lot of games from the bench last year. And specifically, the last couple weeks when Holiday / Derek White have had to miss a little bit of time, he's gotten an extended bulk of minutes, and he has capitalized. He's just been able to score at will. He had his fingerprints all over the Bucks win a couple weeks ago. He looked good tonight, looked good in some of the other games. I don't know off the top of my head primary examples from the road trip because the road trip was kind of a blur. But we've seen probably the best basketball over the last month and a half of Pritchard's NBA career. And I don't think that's
Derek White. Derek White said Pritchard should have won player of the month he won it. He said Pritchard would have been a PP instead of me. Now, Pritchard was great. The Bucks, by the way, who are now below 500 with Doc Rivers at the helm, lost to the Grizzlies tonight. Ugly. Speaking of Derek White, he was solid. Very, very quiet game from him. 8 points, 6 assists, played 31 minutes. Was just solid. He had his usual block. Plucked Chet Holmgren, I believe. He was fine. Jrue Holiday. It felt like he was having a cold shooting night for a while there. He only shot 2 of 6 from 3, but he was second to team high behind Horford, plus 31. Horford was a plus 32. His defense was really solid tonight. He kind of did a lot of stuff that you don't really see in the box score, but he ended up shooting 5 of 9, 2 of 6, 12-7-4 for Jrue. So not really much to complain about there. He was another solid game. It feels like Jrue is sort of settling into the role of going to give you solid defense every night, but not settling into the role. Obviously he's done that all fucking season. What I wanted to say was it feels like he's still trying to find a shot since the injury. Like it hasn't exactly been there. You've seen flashes in the corner and stuff, but it hasn't been there as consistently, which you want to see him ramp back up in the playoffs. But my point was, regardless, you're still going to get one of the best defenders in the world. And you saw that against the Thunder, even when his 3-point shot wasn't falling.
I mean, that's the story with a lot of the guys that aren't named Jason, Jalen, or Kristaps on this team. everybody else has the ability to defend, the ability to knock down shots. And I would say it's safe to bet that at least three of the remaining five are going to show up for you on both ends of the floor on any given night. And you'll have to live with the other two being a little bit cold. Not a bad problem or a situation to have heading into the playoffs. Like, the fact that Derek White was able to shoot just five shots today and still be pretty impactful, and Jrue Holiday only has to take nine shots and is still getting 12 points, seven rebounds, and four assists. He's got his fingerprints all over wins. He had the high plus minus, like you mentioned. He's just, like, meant to be a part of this team. So is Horford. Like,
It is. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It is unbelievably perfect. How perfect Drew and KP are for this team. It is, like, unbelievable how Brad Stevens has managed to do this. It is incredible.
Yeah, in the article from The Ringer today profiling Jrue Holiday, which was an excellent read, by the way, you shared it to Twitter, and if you haven't read it, go on The Ringer. It's the one with the picture of Holiday on the front.
Marine Fader. She is okay. Fucking amazing. When RJ sent us that email asking, like, who your favorite writer is, I sent her, and she's okay. Phenomenal.
But it was excellent, and there's a section of it that kind of talks about, one, Drew's arrival to the Celtics, where he's just like, I'll just do whatever. Like, I'm here to help. And then it kind of talks about Brad Stevens and how he put this team together and how his college coach background helps him in his new role. Because as a college coach, you have endless options when it comes to players that you can recruit. But you have to kind of lean into the ones that you think fit best. And it feels like that's what he's done to build this team. Where, yeah, okay, last year, Porzingis had probably the best year of his career. And Holiday was an all-star. And they both came here. Porzingis has probably kept up his workload and has been just as killer. But Holiday has had to take a step back. He's shooting the fewest shots since his rookie year. I wrote like a ton about him back in December. How impressed I was that he was able to take on this leadership role, play defense, and take like no shots, still be efficient. It's still happening. It's April. This hasn't been a fall off the cliff thing. It's consistent. It's awesome.
It is awesome. And you saying it that way, like Jrue Holiday coming off his all-star season, Kristaps Porzingis coming off arguably the best season of his career, how Brad Stevens slipped Brogdon, Smart, and Robert Williams, one first-round pick in a second or something like that, but like one first into two guys coming off arguably the best years of their careers, at least in the last 10 years. That is fucking insane.
And we haven't even talked about it yet, like win number 60.
Yeah, 160. Clinched it. Joe and Kristaps talked about it post game and provided some good perspective on how they were going to go into this game, treating it as that because they need to find motivation. Joe said, was asked if they celebrated it. Joe said, if celebrating it is as much as, quote, bring it in, shake everybody's hand, and don't take it for granted, then yeah, we definitely talked about it as a team, talked about it before the game, treat this game as a clincher. I think it was important for us to simulate that. I think it's a testament to the guys. Tonight, we'll enjoy it. Tomorrow, nobody cares. Classic Joe. Good for him. And then Kristaps said it, or talked about it as well. Said, we have to find, for each of these games as we're heading down towards the end of the season, some type of motivation. For this game, it was like, okay, if we win, we can achieve something. Joe kind of poked us a little bit and let us know that we could clinch it. So they were very aware of it, and it was their motivation for finding a reason for this game in April. And yeah, best record in the NBA, first 61 season since 09, have a chance to win more games than that 09 season, and I think match the season from 08 because they can get up to 66. My only question is, if that was their motivation tonight, what the fuck is going to be their motivation for the rest of the season that quite literally does not matter at all? The rest of the season doesn't matter.
Porzingis wants to prove he's the superior European big guy to Sabonis. Big fuck you game to Portland with Brogdon and Banton on that team. Fuck Milwaukee. Sure. Fuck the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Grant's in town for Charlotte. And then you want to win on Mike Gorman Day.
They play Charlotte again? I didn't know
that. Yeah, next Friday.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Only other thing from the game, Sam Hauser, some super cool mid ranges. I just thought those were fun. I just think it was fun. He went back to back fadeaway middies.
Good tool in the bag. It is. It's nice because it keeps defenders honest. Not that, you know, if you're a mathematician of a defender, you're like,
you don't want
a 2-point jump shot rather than a 3-point jump shot. But still, you at least have to close out carefully instead of recklessly, where you can just be like, okay, if I get there, he's not going to do anything if he doesn't have a three-point shot. If he's able to drive and make mid-ranges, then maybe a domino effect happens where help defenders start flying out a little bit on the drive and he can create for his teammates. This isn't going to be Sam Hauser, the playmaker, Sam Hauser, the heliocentric god, but it is something else that he can add to his game, kind of like what we saw Grant try and do last year, except Grant sucked at it and didn't really do a great job.
I was going to say, is this version of Hauser better than Grant ever was in the Celtics uniform?
I think it's really hard to say because I think Grant did a really, really good job taking on premier defensive assignments, where Hauser's job on defense is essentially Luke Kornet's role all the time, is you just don't want to notice him.
Don't notice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so tough, but I think they're probably equal.
Not until Sam Hauser has his patented 17 three-point attempts game in the playoffs. Hey.
See, like, last I'm thing excited for the playoffs. Here.
Not that.
But
you're nervous. I'm is that what it is?
About it. Yeah.
Last thing before we get out of here, Jake Eisenberg commented on it. Saw some people comment on it. I tweeted the quote. Jaylen Brown talked about the results of his hand injury. I think I got like a sprain or a strain on a ligament in my left hand. But in my hand. I think it is left. But I think it's fine. It's something I'm not concerned with moving forward, but it bothered me a little tonight. Part of it is playing through it because it gives you more information, but I think it's nothing to be concerned about. And all the replies to my tweet was, stop playing. Just please don't play anymore. Which
yeah, I really
I
don't
get.
Need to see him.
And for what it's worth, he did look like he was struggling tonight before that fourth quarter. And agreed. I don't know if it was related to the hand, but he's answered one of the questions. The starter's like, yeah, I played like shit tonight. I turned it up in the fourth, but I was bad. He did not want to be on the podium. I don't know if it's because he was mad at his performance. I don't know if because he was tired. Like, there's a lot of things that can go into it, but he was not about
should
it.
Should have
like,
asked him.
Go watch the presser. He was not about it. Fuck no, I'm not going to ask him.
Doesn't it sounds like you don't want to be here. Is it like because you don't feel like you played well? You tired?
Well, Gary asked him, like, are you tired because of Ramadan? Like, what's the toll? And Jalen just goes, no. So I just think he was not about it tonight. Like, he just didn't want to be there. As far as the injury thing, I do think there's a balance between you do want to play and get used to it and get it ramped back up because you don't want to go completely into the playoffs cold. But at the same time, like, maybe take a couple off. Take, you know, just chill out a little bit. Maybe don't play every game. Let's calm down there. I think now the Celtics got to go into the cycle of, okay, Al Stowe might flare up again. Kristaps is going to have a little, maybe he doesn't play. Yeah. This is where we're going to start to see the fuckery come around, which I am good with. Please.
It's my time to suit up. Plain simple.
Yeah, get us up. I saw Jam Packard, I think, tweet it. I want to find the exact tweet just so I can give him his credit. But as we talked about, like, it's time in the season where people can, maybe games don't matter. You can start sitting guys. He tweeted, I really hope it was him and not someone else. Imagine if the Celtics did a surprise Blake Griffin signing and introduced him into the starting lineup. Total electric factory, please. That'd be sick.
That would be so funny.
Just last game of the season. Just like the Tristan Thompson Lakers signing last year. Just fucking sign Blake Griffin, suit him up one day for the Wizards game. He doesn't even have to stick around for the playoffs if he doesn't want to. Just let him start against the Wizards and then let him go.
He probably could dominate because Washington doesn't have any big guys at all.
Just bring him back for one day only, and then he can
what,
go back.
My favorite, like, dumb end-of-the-bench storyline would be Joe playing. Because I think Joe could actually at least, like, be out there. You know what I mean? Like, if I went out there, it would be, like, impossible. Like, I could not guard people at all. Like, not to say Joe isn't like I don't want to disrespect NBA players. Obviously, they're at for a reason.
I think, like, respectfully, he'd be a C-tier Pat Beverly, which is fine. Sure, go do that.
Yeah, like, he doesn't really. It would be like kind of funny. If he's ever in a good mood, you should ask him. Be like, what do you think?
I think I brought it up. Remember when he wore the headband? I was like, people want to see you wear the headband. People said they want to get you. Actually, maybe I just asked him about the headband. And not the playing. Maybe it will.
There's a quote like where he was like, I haven't tried to dunk in a while or something. I remember that.
Yeah. The vibes were weird tonight. The vibes we got were, it was a lot of like very PR answers. No one was really like happy or upbeat about it. They're just like, yeah, get it. I think everyone just wanted to fucking go home. Cause I think it was long road trip, got home for a day. Now we had another game. I'm overwhelmed.
Maybe I'll do what would I like to see them do with the 15th spot article? but like a shit post.
You should do
Celtics blog instead of like, I don't want to do what you did because you did a serious like breakdown. I don't want
I think you should do you a different shit post instead of just focusing on the 15th roster spot. Do I don't know what you title it, because I was gonna say Boss Investigation, but that's a different series entirely. Just do like random bullshit I want to see the Celtics do since the games don't matter anymore. Like Joe play, do fucking bring a charity event, fan gets a free play in the game every time they get to play him in the fourth quarter. Just
post the picture
Monty's
son on Celtics blog.
I'm serious. I think that'd be a fire post. I think just
I think so too. I just gotta think about it. I'll have time tomorrow to do something. I wanna do something fun.
I'm trying to think of more stuff that we've talked about on the show that would like play for that.
I just think Joe like playing for the team would be kind of fun. Like, and I think he could do
I think they should start all the fucking big guys. Start Tillman, Nemi, Al, Luke, and Kristaps for a game. Just fuck them. Do it against the Wizards because they don't have a center. So, yeah, sorry, guys. You're not doing shit. No, do it against the Hornets. So Grant is just fucking in the middle of fucking 5'7" trying to fight for his life. You know what they need to do? They need to suit up Mike Gorman. Sign him to the 15th spot. Trot him out there.
Now, Mike Gorman could legitimately, like, suffer some serious injuries if he gets, like, hit in the chest by the wrong guy.
What about Scal? Sign Scal again.
You could probably put Scal out there. My mom said they should just put Pierce on the end of the bench. And I was like, yeah, like, you could do that. You could.
Why not? I'm in.
You need a different size uniform now, but you could do it.
Just rotate 10-day contracts for Phil Pressey, Emile Jefferson, and the player coaches.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, too. I mean,
literally, how many games, Tyler Lashbrook, Ross McMaines, all these guys, Buck was a beast. This is random. Jermaine Buckner, I found like a 3v3 tape of him. Motherfucker is draining threes over guys.
I think anybody that's on a coaching staff has some good background.
Yeah.
Except Celtics for like Tibbs.
Tips. Something that has six games left this season. Six shit things the Celtics should do in their last six games. Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that can be it for us.
I want to see before the end of the season.
Yeah. These games are useless. Here's what we need. Anyways, sorry it wasn't a full pod, guys. We're going to get out of here. I got to catch a train. It's late. I'm dead exhausted. I was falling asleep during the game. I don't know how much of me lagging out I'm going to edit out versus let you guys enjoy my pain, because I feel like that'd be funny depending on how much you guys actually heard and how much dead air there is. But we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Let us know your thoughts on the game. Let us know what you want to see for the end of the season. Give Sam some ideas in the comments. Leave a like on the video, subscribe to the channel, follow us on podcast platforms if that's where you listen, and I'll let Sam wrap it up.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I wish we had a full pod for you today, but the stars just aligned to say absolutely fuck not. No, quit putting it on yourself. It's really just kind of whatever happened today. It's a string of events that led to it. But, yeah, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss any time we do upload.
This is the context.
Because
we haven't shown it here yet. Because
yeah, if you haven't seen this yet, this is one of the reasons why we are short today. Jack arrived home this afternoon in the window that we were supposed to record, and this is what he found.
There's nothing I can do. Also, though, I will say shout out to Joe, who's a fan of the pregame show, made it on the Jumbotron at TD Garden. Beast. That's my cousin Joe, Uncle Danny, pregame show legend. I waved to them from the ninth floor, too. I saw them in the seats, and I said hi to them like I said hi to you and Caleb. Anyway, sorry, you can wrap up. Just
pod platforms, subscribe. Email us, hbtcpod@gmail.com. We're going to have a bunch of emails on Saturday because we didn't do them today. Socials at How About Them C's, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, just the name of the pod. Streams are there, YouTube, Twitter. Jack's Twitter's at Jack's Money NBA. Mine's at Sam of France. NBA, that's it for us. Bye.
Ridiculous!